Exodus chapter 30, starting at verse number 17, the text says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, make a bronze basin with its bronze stand for washing. Place it between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Aaron and his sons are to wash their hands and feet with water from it. Whenever they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water so that they will not die. Also, when they approach the altar to minister by presenting an offering made to the Lord by fire, they shall wash their hands and feet so that they will not die. This is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron and his descendants for the generations to come." Don't you love the feeling when you get cleaned up? After a good night's sleep, to go get into a hot shower and clean up, it just feels amazing. Getting off of work after a long, hard day and getting cleaned up. Now, I understand that probably the majority of people in here probably have white-collar jobs where you sit at a desk all day and do some things of that nature. But some of you out here know what it's like to work out in the elements all day. My brother Mike back there know about that. You came in here one day, boy, he's about dark as I was, working out in that sun all day. But you know what it's like to get home after a long 12-hour day and to get in that hot shower and to get cleaned up. I remember my dad, he worked at a flour mill in Buffalo, and when he got home, his face, his clothing, everything was covered in flour. And he had that look of exhaustion. You know, he was happy to see us all, but he couldn't wait to go get in that shower and get cleaned up. And he come out all cleaned up with that smile on his face as only my dad would have. And he would have that look that would say, "I'm ready to eat." Don't you love the feeling when you get cleaned up? I look back there and I see my brother, Joe Cooper, who has been open in sharing with us his battle with addiction and his celebrating and blessing of sobriety for several years. I love looking at Joe's smile. I love looking at this guy and watching him prance around. You know, he's been working out a little bit, so you know, he come up in here all swole like that every time. Joe isn't hesitant to share with this family and others that it feels good when you get cleaned up. I don't know if the priests under the old covenant love the act of being clean as much as we love a hot shower. But the act of cleaning was just as much a part of the daily ritual of the priests as was the burnt offering. The offering of fragrant incense or lighting the menorah. There was a huge bronze laver or basin. It was a huge sink used for washing. It stood at a place just prior to the entrance of the holy place. We don't know the dimensions of this piece, but it had to be a great deal in size. The laver was filled with water. The water was used to wash the hands and feet of the priests before they entered the holy place to perform their priestly duties on a daily basis. The water was also used to wash different parts of the animals being offered for the sacrifices. The command to wash was a strict one, church. Again, verse number 20 and 21, it says, "Whenever they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water so that they will not die. Also, when they approach the altar to minister by presenting an offering made to the Lord by fire, they shall wash their hands and feet so they will not die." When it came to washing and ministering in the holy place, the Lord didn't play. He commanded proper washing. As the priests performed their duties throughout the camp on a daily basis, they would get dirty. Their feet would get dirty. Their hands would get dirty. There was a need for them to wash. Getting dirt on their person was in essence a way of describing the sin problem. I shared last week that we have a sin problem. And if we don't address the sin problem, we remain a slave to sin and we become buried in the dirt of sin. Just think about it for a moment. Just think if the priests never took the time to wash their hands or wash their feet. Just think of the stench. Just think of the dirt piling up. It was as if the washing was a communicative tool of God to explain to his people that they were in need of cleansing. You see, it has always been in the heart of God that his people would be clean or purified or holy. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45, the Lord says, I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I am holy. God wants his people to be holy. God wants his people to be clean. God will clean his people. Aren't you glad that God has not asked us to go and find our own way to clean ourselves? Aren't you glad that God provided the means for the priest to be clean and for his people to be clean? Can't you see this is why after David committed a despicable sin against his people, against his neighbor, and against his God, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband to try to cover it up, after David did all these things and was confronted by the prophet Nathan, David went to the Lord for cleansing. In that great Psalm 51, he writes, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Say this with me, church. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He continues, for I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Say this with me, church. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. He continues, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Say this with me, church. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. I'm glad David knew who to go to because generations later, we have an example of who to go to when we are stained with sin. Yes, sin leaves stains, and these stains can't be removed by Tide or some other laundry soap. These stains can only be removed by God. So David says, God, wash me up. Clean me up. Blot out my stains. Blot out all the stains of my iniquity. Wash me and restore to me innocence. How many of you know what it means to cry out to God and beg him to clean you up? And doesn't it feel good to be cleaned up? As it pertains to the tabernacle, this laver or basin was located right outside the entrance of the holy place. And what a meaningful placement. In order to minister and serve before God, there needs to be a place at the entrance where one can get cleaned up. It was the priest's responsibility to get cleaned up before they went into the tabernacle. It was their duty and their job to wash that dirt off. How many of you are glad that Christ is better? You see, in Christ, Christ does the washing. You see, in Christ, what I might be lax in doing, Christ does it perfectly. You see, Christ is better because in him we are purified and we are cleaned. The Apostle Paul put it this way when he wrote to his son in the gospel, Titus. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11, he says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." Do you understand that contained within the ministry of Jesus is the act of purification or cleaning up? By the grace of God, we receive purification through Christ. Yes, we have all been stained by the dirt of wickedness, but thank God we have been redeemed, brought back to righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And while we are in the possession of God, he is determined to clean us or purify us so that we might take our rightful place as God's peculiar or his very special people, his prized possession. The mountains belong to God. They are his possession. The seas are God's possession. The sky, the clouds are God's possession. But we too are God's people. And we are amongst all of God's possession. Listen to this. We are his prized possession. We're in the trophy case. You got all those other trophies, all them little trophies. But right in the middle, that's where we are. And guess what? God takes time to shine up his prized possession. God takes time to make sure that his prized possession is clean. God takes time to make sure that it's shining bright. God makes sure that when people see his prized possession, he sees cleanliness. That's our God. We are in God's trophy case. And we need continual shining and cleansing. And while we should attach baptism as an act that provides cleansing and washing, it would be inappropriate to think that baptism would be required every time we get dirty with sin. If that was the case, every week we'd have a long line leading up to this baptistry. Here's the blessed place we live in Christ Jesus. Since we are in Jesus, there remains a continuous basin or laver where he is constantly and continually cleansing us. Again, the Hebrew writer puts it in great perspective for us. Chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse number 19. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." The repeated allusion in the New Testament of washing from the Old Testament seems to suggest that our understanding of baptism and continual washing has its roots in the Old Testament understanding of washing. In fact, baptism was not a New Testament invention. Sects of Jews were baptizing, ceremonial washing and dipping long before Jesus showed up on earth. A baptism wasn't just about washing away sins, but also a practice of one's declaration of their allegiance to Jehovah and their commitment to their God. So then our understanding of baptism and washing is not to be limited to an understanding of water and sins being washed away. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. You see, baptism can't only be about washing away sins. I said earlier in class, if that was true, then why was Jesus Christ baptized? He had no sin. the act of baptism and the acceptance that there is a continual cleansing taking place is a way for us to declare our spiritual reality. You see, in this reality, God is doing the work, not me. In this spiritual reality, Jesus does the cleansing, not me. Ultimately, in this act of cleansing, this act of continual cleansing, we see the grace of God at work. Romans chapter 6, starting at verse number 11. It says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master because you are not under law, but under grace. It seems appropriate to highlight this, that when it comes to cleansing in our lives, the method by which God will employ and enact is cosmic, is extravagant, it's supernatural. It's grace. Which means even if we have made declaration and pledges to God to live his way, when we make mistakes, grace. When we sin, grace. When we forget, grace. His grace is healing. His grace is freeing. His grace is life-changing, and his grace is cleansing. His grace is better than anything ever offered in the world. So this I am confident of. I am no longer who I once was, not because I was dunked in water, but because of God's grace. And this morning, should any of you decide to proclaim Christ through public confession and baptism this morning, know that it's not the baptism that does the work. It's not you who do the work. It's God's grace. And you will be clean. Don't you love it when you get all cleaned up? Wouldn't you love if currently you feel dirty? Wouldn't you love to just get cleaned up right now? David wrote this in Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. May the words that David spoke in Psalm 24 be our prayer today.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be.
seas. Seek your face, O God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. O God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. O God of Jacob.
To enter the holy place and to behold the very presence of God, the priests had to obey God's command to wash themselves, to be clean. If we want to see God, if we want to experience God, if we want to behold the glory of God, we've got to pray that prayer. God, give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. And we receive clean hands and pure hearts in Jesus. Don't you love the feeling when you get cleaned up? I am a Christian. I am unashamedly a Christian. And I've done some horrible things in my life. I continue to make mistakes and sin before God. And I'm not proud of that. And I'm not here to highlight that, to make myself anything. I only say that to say I love the fact that even though I've done some horrible things and that I sin and that I make mistakes, that in Jesus I can get cleaned up. And guess what? I love the feeling of being cleaned up. Give us clean hands, O God. Give us pure hearts. Create in me, create in us clean hearts. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we want to see you. We want to behold you. We want to experience you. God, we understand that we can't come near to you unless we are clean. So, God, we have to give you at this very moment a shout of praise and a shout of thanksgiving that you gave us Jesus Christ, because in him we are clean. And as our Hebrew writer tells us, we can now approach you confidently and boldly because we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. God, we love being cleaned up. And we thank you for the ministry of purification, the ministry of cleansing. God, we thank you for reminding us through the words of Scripture, through the lives of the many, many characters, that you desire holiness, you desire cleanliness, and that you are willing to provide the method and the mode to be clean. So we thank you that although we're thousands of years removed from the tabernacle, that you have still provided a way, you are still providing a way, that you are still enacting cleansing in our lives. Father, we thank you that Christ is better. And we praise him. We give honor to Jesus. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit that right now as we speak is cleansing us. Father, in you we place all of our hope. We place all of our trust. Father, in you we are not swallowed up by our mistakes or swallowed up by our sin, but we are redeemed from those sins. We are cleansed from those sins. We are released from those sins. God, I pray that you would just lead us to live a life in your extravagant grace. God, while I might not understand why you would want to give me such extravagance and grace, God, I'll take it. We'll take it, God. Just continue to shower your love over us, shower your grace over us. God, give us new pictures and new metaphors so that we may come to a realization that we do not live under the law of sin, we live in the law of grace. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. We seek your face, O God. Create in us clean hearts and renew right spirits within all of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If we could pray for you, minister to you in any way by gathering around you, talking with you, holding your hand, journeying with you. Maybe you're living in despair. Maybe you're living in a dark time right now and you need some lights around you to help reignite a light in you, to help reignite a fire in you. We believe that that will take place through the work of Jesus, through the work of his people, the body of Christ. And so if there's anything that we could do to minister to you, we want to do that for you. If you want to become a disciple of Christ, a passionate follower of Jesus Christ, and you want to have a conversation about what that means, we want to provide that opportunity for you. If you've had that conversation, you've been contemplating making that decision, you want to make a public profession, confession of that decision, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and no one else, and you want to publicly display that commitment by being obedient and being baptized into Jesus Christ. We'll also provide that ministry for you. Let's stand and let's sing.